is so much that we need to share. So send a smile and show you care.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is another edition of Cashflow. This is James Martinez, your host. I want to welcome everybody for another edition. This is going to be quite an interesting edition of Cashflow, seemingly as the news in the last 48 hours has not been the best for quite a number of people that I've been hearing from all over the US that are calling me, panicking, determining what's to do next, what's going to happen next, where are we going, is that marrow going to come out, what do I do with my credit cards, where should I invest my money, is there any money, what is money, what do I do with gold, should I buy gold, blah, 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 blah. It's evident across the U.S. right now in some certain networks and people talking on the air and TV and so forth that this banking issue and financial issue for the United States now, for some reason, after what just occurred a couple days ago or yesterday, the day before yesterday, now we have to pay attention to it. Because before, for some reason, nobody was paying attention to it. Now, suddenly, now it's real. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and bring on our guest for today as scheduled, Bob Neverett. Are you there? Bob, are you there? Is Bob Neverett there? Is he there? Hello?
Dave!
There you are. Okay.
Thank you. Yes, it's our day. This should be the press conference.
Okay. Okay. So go ahead and begin the press conference because I'm basically going to use this archive as our press conference, and I'm going to have to send it out to the proper figures. I wouldn't call them authorities, but go ahead and begin. And what would you be your announcement for today?
Well, when we talked about the Beijing Olympics a month ago, we wondered what would happen next that would distract everybody, but I would say is the reality. You need the distraction, that's reality. Then I said the Republican and Democratic conventions, right? That would be the next coverage at the end of August that everybody be swallowing and swimming around in. But
right.
What's interesting, a surprise came out of that Republican convention. 2 years ago, I predicted that the image of a male patriarch in the White House had run its course with President Bush. From Ike to Bush, 50 years, there was no possibility of a male image being president anymore. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I said it had to be a woman in 2008. Now, I was hesitant to say it would be Hillary, though as 2007 unfolded, people thought Hillary was going to act out that destiny. The thing is, we knew that Hillary probably couldn't make it, but we didn't know how things were going to work out exactly. But I'm stuck there with the prediction of a woman president. So Barack Obama knocks out Hillary, supposedly, at least so far, right? So far.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is over the last 8 years, what has become the most powerful function in the White House? The vice presidency.
Exactly.
The vice presidency. It's like people realized it was a post-information society. They intuited this. So they said, well, the president is the guy who's got to keep the information patina fake going. But the real manipulations are being done behind the scenes in the caveman reality of the post-information world. And that was represented by caveman Dick Cheney, right?
Exactly.
So being a president is not the key point anymore. The key position you want is vice president. And so When John McCain stood there and he presented his vice presidential candidate, which means the next president in actuality, the mm-hmm. one running the show,
right.
He stood there like a proud father says, dig this, look at this, my daughter, my
exactly.
daughter. From Alaska. And of course, Sarah Palin came in, gave a good speech in the context of the Republicans, and is now the whole center of the lightning storm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it about her? The Republicans were forced to accept John McCain very hesitantly. You know, the traditional Republicans, the core of the thing, core of their party. And what a coup to bring in a woman who activates all her fantasies mm-hmm. and is of what they think a president should be, someone who's on the outside, not part of the government network, a frontier woman who comes in and invigorates the McCain image with the whole possibility that this old guy is going to die and she'll become president. Meanwhile,
exactly.
She's in the more powerful position of vice president if they win.
Scary.
So, well, no, what's scary about it? Now, okay, well, James, if you're going to get neurotic this soon into the press conference, let's deal with it, because we got a lot more to talk about. What's scary about it?
No, and it's not scary to me. It's scary to the most of the public. I'm seeing that that most of the public just doesn't like her. They're all the joking and everything. I've never seen anything like it before. Somebody comes out fresh out of the gate, and all the media has attacked her in every single way possible. And also that I know for people in Hollywood that it's totally struck up a chord like that. Is this person qualified? But that's what I'm referring to, not myself, because I know that doesn't really matter.
Right. Now, you said that everybody attacks her. That's what the TV body is there for, to attack the presidency and the vice presidency. That's his job. It doesn't matter. If you were president or vice president, they'd attack you, James.
Right,
if,
exactly.
Who's someone who's charismatic? If Gandhi was president, they would attack him. So the point is, it's there to be attacked. That's why President Bush and Cheney ignore the media, because they understand that Bush and Cheney are given reality by being attacked. So it's perfectly correct for the Republicans to put in someone that will be attacked, a fundamentalist, supposedly inexperienced person. That makes her more powerful. The media, though, can't admit that, because their job, and now we can address Mr. Stewart. I don't watch his show, but I imagine he's been making hay with Sarah Palin for weeks now. Had you watched any of his shows?
No, I've not seen any of his shows, but I am sure without a doubt. It's interesting. It's stimulated a lot of business.
Yes, that's right.
In conversation, so, which is important, right?
Right. And now the thing is that, you know, Stewart being the real president in the TV body, his job is to abuse the other abused. And he then becomes an abuser himself, Stewart, and the abused. It's all intertwined. It's all the same person. He is the White House as much as Sarah Palin will be. The thing is that you have to have someone for the role of the museum of the White House who is a Christian, who represents the oil industry, who is in the frontier. I mean, the White House is all about 200 years ago.
Right.
Okay? So she's the perfect image. And she'll break the glass ceiling, which is incredible. Okay, so I just want to say that my prediction that there would have to be a woman seems to be fulfilled. The interesting twist to it, though, is it's going to be the vice presidential position. And always, a young person is more fascinating to people in media because they have potential. Once you arrive, like Leonardo DiCaprio or somebody, you're not interesting anymore. You don't have the potential of arriving.
Right.
So you have to.
That's right. That's good.
Yeah. And so Sarah Palin, by being experienced, we become fascinated within the Android meme. We become fascinated with the potential of what she could be.
Mm-hmm.
So you need an inexperienced person to be the president. I mean, that's what all the presidents have been inexperienced for the last 15 years since President Bush, the first Bush, and now you have an inexperienced woman. So you have to hand it to the managers that ignored what I told Ron Paul's managers and used my ideas and brought it in to boost their party to at least a contender against Barack Obama. But meanwhile, the real TV body is collapsing, and that's the fake rule of Wall Street in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this has been propped up for 50 years that there's a financial center, and Walter Cronkite had contacts to Goldman Sachs and Kuhn Loebs and American Express and AIG and all these companies. And, of course, they all collapsed in 87, right,
mm-hmm.
when the digital landscape came in. Now the chip body rules, and so the TV landscape represented by Lehman Brothers and money and the icon of an economy is no longer able to stick around and look like it's functioning. So that means the chip body is going to be the previous chip landscape is going to be the market economy, which means hyper-decentralization.
Mm-hmm.
It's the centralized image that the TV body projects that's represented by the collapse of Lehman Brothers. And so as we know, nothing is collapsing. It will go back up again, and it will go back down again. But where are we when a post-information society passed the chip landscape, which is now archetype and art form and what we accept as reality, the chip decentralization, which we cannot see and have no central image around, right, for the global economy. It's right. All off the boards. It's all cavemen fighting each other now.
God. So is it is Goldman Sachs going to go down too? Are all of them going to go down?
Yes. J.P. Morgan and Chase, they disappeared about a year and a half ago. I don't know, what is this? A year and a half in the spring of 2007. J.P. Morgan Chase went bankrupt, okay, in the caveman world, off the record. The parts of J.P. Morgan Chase are surfacing as crumbling. You first had Bear Stearns. Oh, yes, saved by J.P. Morgan Chase, right? No, J.P. Morgan Chase already owned Bear Stearns. They already owned Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and Morgan Stanley. Okay? So we're witnessing over the next year the collapse of J.P. Morgan Chase in as its various clothes are knocked off. Okay? So Goldman Sachs is next, Morgan Stanley is next, and then J.P. Morgan.
So the whole thing's going to collapse. All those are going to collapse. What will happen after that, and what's it going to be like? What do you think it's going to be like for... Because I see the candidates, and they're not even hardly even talking about it, which is interesting to me. It's not even being addressed, and these guys are getting ready to run the show, or the image of the show.
Yes, because in the caveman reality, post-information, we are witnessing the icons of the TV landscape, Wall Street, the presidential position, the White House, the military, the Pentagon, all these brands that represent the American world empire fighting among themselves to be the next centralized image within a decentralized chip landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So to be decentralized image, you must ignore all the other icons and their problems, because they're trivial compared to you. So the Pentagon ignores Wall Street. Wall Street ignores the White House. The White House ignores Wall Street. Barack Obama doesn't comment on Wall Street, because what's more important from Obama and McCain's point of view is the White House. So a battle over which is the most powerful position so that it can ignore all the other issues. And just occasionally give a press conference saying everything's okay over there.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the collapsing of Wall Street. Now, you say it's all going to go. Well, the argument, the decentralized chaos in the chip landscape, the discussion about which icon is going to be our central authority, and, complaining in the blogosphere about all this situation, that is the wealth. Someone said to me
That's right. I do understand that all this activity right now, it's stimulated the economy because we're all talking about it.
Yes. A friend said to me the other day, so Bob, what you're saying is that in the 60s, the dollar was backed by gold. Then in the 70s, the dollar became backed by oil. And now, if I understand you, Bob, you're saying that the dollar is backed by us typing on our computer keyboards.
Talking. Exchanging information.
Talking and typing. And I said, exactly. That is what's keeping the economy going. Now, the problem is that every new environment flips into its opposite. We are witnessing the end of the chip landscape. And that's manifested by the extreme ending of the TV icons, including the presidential icon. Where that leads is a problem, because we have to figure out how to organize ourselves in relation
to
this.
All right, tell me about, describe what that problem is, name it.
The problem is that the typing is only going to keep the economy going for a while, or keep the image of community going for the world economy. So what is actually happening on the post-chip body, post-chipping world, post-typing world, is the cavemen are organizing into groups. And you have China organizing with India and Russia and Africa and South America. That is the new economic structure. But they still have to deal with the previous chip landscape and TV landscape. That's why China props up Wall Street, okay?
Right.
But the only thing that breaks us through all this and is looming on the horizon is a new source of energy. That's the only thing that will save us. In other words, people shouldn't be worrying about their jobs. They shouldn't be worrying about whatever they're worrying about today, their insecurity, where to put their money, and whether they have money. They should be demanding a new energy source and the fact it's already been created.
Right.
Through the Pons and Fleischmann experiment. That's what everybody should scream about. The software communication environment of the last 150 years is kaput. And that's what I mean by post-information society. So when there's no communication or reason to align with anybody, then everybody's in a state of war readiness on
so
all levels.
In this press conference right now, you are asking the public to demand cold fusion.
Yes.
Bring it out. We want it now.
Yeah, I'm saying it's here. There are laboratories that have proven it. It's not allowed to be presented in the TV landscape. The chip landscape talks about it a little bit, but we need to say that it's already here. We want it implemented. That's the beginning of getting us past this arguing over what the icon should be, whether there should be a woman president, whether there should be an African-American president, whether there should be a presidency, whether there should be a global economy, whether there should be this decentralized. Those are keeping and limping the icons of the chip and TV landscape along. And it'll work for the next, say, year or two.
So typing and communicating will keep us afloat, so to speak, for a little bit, but not for very long, you're saying. And,
yeah.
And during that time while we're typing back and forth, we should all be talking about accessing and acquiring and demanding this new form of energy to come out for everyone.
Yes, because as I've been saying since the first week of July, if you follow the laws of the tetrad, McLuhan's point, every new environment obsolesces something, retrieves something from the past, and brings it back so that it appears in new form, but it ultimately flips into its opposite characteristics. The software environment in general, the analog, electrical, and then the digital, the last 150 years, is flipping into a new hardware environment. We will go back to a crude caveman hardware environment if we don't have cold fusion. So we should be all, quote, cult members and zombies and only say one word, one phrase, cold fusion, to every issue ever brought up as we're typing about them.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Now, okay, let's just say that began in small fringe groups and it gets bigger and bigger and the subject matter keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. The powers that be are going to resist this, or are they going to go, oh, okay, we can save all of ourselves here by doing such, or are they going to fight it?
In North America, they're going to fight it. The only place it can be implemented is in Asia. So we're going to have demand that it be started in China, where there's a renaissance in traditional terms going on anyways. All the world's money there, all the creativity. We saw the Beijing Olympics. That proved that they were the new Florence Medici Renaissance generation. And
right.
So, but they are stuck within the incompletion of a renaissance. That's an information image renaissance. They've got a 50-mile block of artist galleries in Beijing, I think it is. They have a Soho that's, you know, 100 times bigger than the Soho in the United States. You know that many cities decided that it was good to have gay culture in your city because they were creative and they brought in industries and imageries and software information for the tourists. So it helped the city's budget, right?
Right.
So the problem is that has run its course, and the Chinese are on the edge of a renaissance, but they know it's the end of an image renaissance. More movies, better TV. They know it's a hardware situation that they have to bring in. Remember, Japan already has cold fusion. The government already handed over in 1997 the commercial marketing of cold fusion to Toyota and Matsushita, I think. And the New York Times covered up the meaning of that story. They said that the Japanese government was, this is in August 97, they said the Japanese government had lost faith in cold fusion, was not going to fund it anymore. That wasn't the fact. The fact was the Japanese government realized it was true, and it was not the Japanese government's job to commercialize it, to market it, so they handed it over to their corporations. And then a couple months later, in the fall of 97, Japan's economy was attacked. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they've been limping back since then, and they haven't been able to implement the cold fusion. So we have to realize that there is no China, no America, no Africa in the chip landscape. But for the chemical body and the return of the caveman atmosphere, we need to go off the North American grid, start in China, because they can implement along with Russia and Africa. They don't have the oil structure, the old oil environment. They're wildernesses. They're starving. Give right. them this immediate energy situation. They'll take it. They're not going to be questions about it. They have no investment in the oil structure other than Russia funding the oil industry. But Russia's got a huge country and a lot of starving people there, right? So
yeah.
the point is we must think of Asia as our backyard or
now,
the front yard.
Let me ask you this. It's like when that movie came out called The Saint that I mentioned, and it's about this subject exactly. It's
yeah.
about the economy falling to pieces. It's about this particular piece of technology actually came out in Russia. And who is going to, if it comes out in China, as it should, who owns the rights? Or is anybody going to, is it going to be given to the world, or how is it going to be handled?
It's going to be owned by the people that made a deal with Pons and Fleischmann. And they will become the richest people in the world marketing this thing. But the point about the coal fusion battery is that once we've all bought one, we don't need to buy another one.
Right.
Therefore, the money hierarchy collapses.
Right.
Those that were the biggest winners in the last round, they can celebrate the fact that they changed the situation, but they will then be, quote, victims of the coal fusion effect and won't be necessary to be a millionaire, a trillionaire, or a billionaire anymore.
Yeah, it won't mean anything. It's going to change the value system of everybody internally forever, right?
Yep. This is, quote, what the real meaning of the Mayan calendar 2012 is. This change
right.
in
yes.
humanity's energy system from a friction-based, energy-based input to a frictionless energy structure. Because there's money is based on friction.
So we're in the last... 3-4 years until this begins, and when it does begin in China, are we going to be allowed here to even hear about it? How is it going to be like? Okay, here we go. We're making this big announcement, and we've started it here. Or is it going to be dribbled through various outlets or whatever? Who's going to recognize it? Is there going to be official policy in recognizing that they're doing that, or is it just going to come out in some side papers?
It'll come out in side papers. The White House will not recognize it. And the United States will, or North America, will be the last part of the world that will get coal fusion, let's say in 10 years.
Wow.
They will be forced, as the rest of the world acquires this technology and moves into a new era, the United States will be more of a, you could even say, a concentration camp in many ways, and they will be forced to give in eventually and accept it.
Why would the U.S. resist it?
Because they, in the TV landscape, are Wall Street. It's the richest empire ever in history, even though
right.
it's a paper empire and it's crumbling all the time all around us, right?
Right.
But since the White House is the only thing that determines reality in terms of what it says, it's the word that makes the market, it will deny everything right to the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
It will say what they say and what the role of the United States is. Well, the United States is to bring us into the 21st century because it's the it won the Cold War.
Right. Are we? Is anyone privy to the actual date and when this will start, or is it nobody's going to know and they're just going to start doing it?
Well, we haven't found God yet, but I'm sure it knows. So let's wait till it makes a press conference.
Because if they make an announcement, are as you've mentioned, new technology brings new wars. So
yes.
There's going to be a lot of fighting about this, yes?
The war started 10 years ago in 97 in Japan.
Mm-hmm, right.
Coal fusion is here as a young potential person. You know, the potentiality of a young person. It's a new young environment, a new medium. As it goes through its growing pains, like Paris Hilton did, it
right.
will cause all this problem in the TV and chip landscape. No, we've been in the war since 97.
Okay, so now we're just getting to the meat of it and probably coming to the end of it in the next 4 to 5 years then.
Yeah, next 3 years.
Next 3 years. All right, we're going to take a break. This is a special guest today, Bob Neverett, here on the Cashflow Show with James Martinez. Take a break. Stand by, everybody. We'll be back right after this.
There is no blood.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cashflow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of your credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good? Now? That's right. Call our 800 number and listen to the 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
You've been asking for it, and now you've got it. Every Friday at 3 p.m., Whole Life Pages, the country's largest, most comprehensive directories to natural, holistic, and alternative therapies and resources, presents the Whole Life Pages live internet radio show. Your hosts, Carmen and John LaMarca, publishers of the Whole Life Pages directories, will give you the opportunity to meet the who's who and learn the what's what in these life-changing fields. We'll cover topics such as chelation therapy, nutrition, energy work, children's programs, animal health, coaching, healthy eating, feng shui, healing alternatives, and so much more. Our goal at Whole Life Pages is to provide you with the tools through which you can be empowered to positively affect change in your life and in the lives of others. For more information, visit our internet edition at www.wholelifepages.com. www.wholelifepages.com. And remember to tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. to the Whole Life Pages live radio show and change your life.
Listening to AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
James Martinez with Cashflow. Be sure to tune in tomorrow where my special guest will be Danny Schechter, director of In Debt We Trust. I interviewed him about a year and a half ago, and I'm sure he's going to have some commentary on the current situation happening in New York and L.A. and everywhere else. So be sure to tune in to that. But now back to our press conference with Bob Neverett. Go ahead.
Yes, James. Now we come to our timely punchline. We began with Sarah. And yes, a woman is going to be the key figure in the White House as vice president, then if McCain passes on as president. But what is the real issue? It's not whether she's a Christian or pro-life, pro-choice, whether she has a Down syndrome child, whether her daughter is pregnant. Those are chemical body issues. Within the TV iconic landscape, what is important, and you see how it relates to the Cold Fusion, is that she comes from Alaska. And her main pitch as governor is and continues to be, we want that pipeline developed. We want oil developed. We in Alaska know the oil industry. There's even oil off the coast. We are going to revitalize the oil economy. So you see how she's perfectly set up to be the anti-environment to the coal fusion environment.
Yeah, exactly. Which seems
perfect.
Stupid. It means
big
totally
pardon?
Counterproductive.
Yes. And so that's why if people want to criticize Sarah Palin, they should criticize her on the coal fusion front, not on any of the chemical body issues.
Right, I agree.
Now, here's an interesting point that I wanted to talk about last week, but we were canceled, so we had to wait. I want to talk about how the White House represents the merger of art, capital A art, science, big science, you could say, media, or big media, or centralized media, and nature, capital N, nature. The actual merger of art, science, media, and nature is what we have experienced over the last 30 years. Marsh McLuhan made this point in 1972. And when that happens, humans or the chemical body or whatever we are as, quote, man, becomes an information environment. That's all it can be. So it fragments the merger of art, science, media, and nature into its their former specialist areas. And so the market, the Android meme, celebrates the artist, the scientist, the media priest, and nature. The way this is anthropomorphized is that, of course, art is the artist. Science is not particularly the scientist, but the politician. The politician determines where, and the White House and Congress determine where the science budget goes. So the actual representative of science, that old specialist area of our past, is the politician. The pop culture star from Madonna to Rihanna to us, if we become successful in our press conference, we will be the modern priest. The media figures that are top in the showbiz Hollywood world are the religion, all right? So they carry on the job of the priest. And nature, as a teacher, the ancient wisdom that first nature has always to give us, and it's our, quote, common sense we fall back on, that is represented by the, quote, teacher, the educational establishment, the values generator, the guru, the religionist, the culture critic. So the juggling of art, science, media, and nature that we all have to do because we cannot handle the merger of them, the juggling of that is what I call quadrophenia. So we all have to be part artist, part politician, part priest, part teacher, which is a reflection of being part art, science, media, and nature. And the way to juggle it is to be an athlete. So the rise of the athlete as the iconic supreme being in the TV landscape is explained by the merger of art, science, media, and nature. Because the athlete juggles these four regions, these four icons, these four memes from the past, and the ability to juggle that is your coolness factor.
Your coolness factor.
Yes.
So your coolness factor means that you're working with Quadrophenia quite well then.
That's right. And the athlete is the appropriate traditional icon of handling slightly the post-information environment. If you're moving to a post-information environment, which we've been inching towards over the last 10 years, then you're back in the caveman world, and that's muscle, that's running speed, and all the wonderful things that people can do, which we saw in the Olympics.
Right.
The athletic factor took over pop culture in the 70s. Andy Warhol once said that the artist was king in the pop culture in the 60s, and then the sports figure became the most charismatic image. And what happened is you experienced this in the 80s, 90s. Everybody goes around wearing a T-shirt with some team's or famous athlete's number on their back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't put a picture of Andy Warhol or Frank Zappa on their T-shirt. There'll be subsets of people doing that who aren't athletes, the so-called nerds, right, the skinny nerds. But overall, I mean, that's why your governor is in there as governor. He's got that athletic charisma. Schwarzenegger.
That's right.
I'm trying to explain why the athlete has been. It's not because the culture has been dumbed down. It's not because whatever other reasons. We're on drugs or we're too much fluoride in the water or not
whatever,
enough patriotism.
Right.
It is the actual traditional image of the athlete in the trend towards the post-information society and the caveman physical world that's here today. But that's a physical world involving the four bodies. The athlete is the closest anthropomorphic human image that we can come up with of skill in being K-E-W-L, cool.
So does that, like Michael Phelps right now, he is the image.
I have not followed the, I'm not watching, monitoring the TV landscape. What did happen to him after he won all those 8 medals?
Well, he did, of course, he did the major publicity thing and went all on the talk shows. Of course, he's probably negotiating commercial contracts, advertising. I mean, he's cashing in and cashing in the media environment completely. Book deals, public appearances, all that is happening now.
In other words, he's being an artist, a scientist, a priest, and a teacher.
Yeah, and he's even said publicly that his he apologized for not keeping up with his Facebook entries. Which is interesting because Facebook got coverage on the Olympics when he was being interviewed, and it got coverage afterwards as well, because that's important to people now.
I hear it
more and more. I'm starting to get messages from people like, if you don't respond, if you're not on the MySpace page and you didn't respond, or you're not on the top friends, or you're not paying attention to your Facebook thing, something's the matter with you.
Yeah, that's the juggling of your chip body, and he has to run around and deal with the TV body.
Right.
All these contracts in the old media, and he had to neglect in his juggling, which he represents the athlete and skill of juggling the four bodies. He apologized. My success is starting to put a pressure on me. I got to emphasize one body over the others.
Exactly.
And I'm so happy that you monitor the TV landscape, James, because if we didn't have your input, then we'd have to end the show early, because those are great. Those are great facts, what you brought in, quote facts. That is the... very important. Now, let's look at his name, since people, they often become successful because of their name. It has the branding and iconic quality in the TV body. What is Phelps, what does that evoke to you?
You know, that's an interesting question, because when initially I heard his name and I heard Phelps, I thought something having to do with his last name is going to become like clothing line. It's gonna turn into something other than him in the future.
Right.
His medals and what he did is the trigger for the Phelps like meme to turn into something far different than he even understands in the future.
Right. He's going to flip from one body to the next. He's gonna actually have to do what the athlete traditionally means the last 25, 30 years. And so he already is under pressure, because the juggling of the four bodies is so intense now, because we've moved past that. When I talk about quadrophenia, that's what the average citizen has to become. But the actual caveman reality we've moved into, with the collapsing of everything, or at least of the TV landscape, that puts intense pressure on his role. He's almost obsolete. And so the issue, the image, the charisma of the athlete juggling quadrophenia, the four bodies, is under pressure right now, because that's the last gasp of the information branding, information profiling, the world that will limp along for another 2 years, say. You follow that?
I followed it.
So flips, he's flipping. Now he's Mike. Mike is a common name, and he has to be on the microphone of the word that makes the market. So he actually is temporarily a challenge to Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. You know, because he has the charisma of representing the American dream.
Right.
And so it'd be interesting to check out how much Jon Stewart criticized Phelps, made fun of him. He probably didn't do anything.
I didn't watch too much of his coverage, because I already know what the agents are going to do, what the publicists are going to do. He is going to milk that and turn it into something other beyond than just him swimming world records. It's going to be a form of leadership. It'll be clothing. It's going to stimulate the economy. It's going to start book deals. He's eventually going to he'll spend less time in the pool, is what's going to happen.
Okay, yes. Have you heard, do we know, if Jon Stewart has satirized Mike Phelps? I would tend to believe they wouldn't, because he's the sacred hydraulic jack for the next few weeks, and been for the last few weeks, that Jon Stewart can't criticize, because Jon Stewart needs that American image for him to criticize, in general, the political aspects of it.
Right. I've not seen that.
So Phelps is going through the honeymoon phase.
Yes. he's after years, and he'd be going through the honeymoon phase, and he's probably going to stay on the honeymoon phase as long as possible.
Yes. Okay, so Mike flips all over the place, and what was he known for? He's known for being triple jointed or something.
He's known because his length of his arms, and I don't quite recall. I think a butterfly is his event. But he's known for, because he has really long, long arms, and obviously in during the Olympics, that was exemplified because he won one of the events and got the gold with 1/100th of a second. In other words, it was the length of his arm that got him the gold.
Yes, but the thing is, he's also double-jointed. I'm joking, saying triple-jointed. He has a weird body structure. He's a freak of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. We need to send a copy of our press conference to him, because put real pressure on him. Well, let's get him to advocate cold fusion.
Right, because if he did, everybody would pay attention. That would be all over the world.
Yes, Paris Hilton approached it when she did her Maui ad a month ago. Remember she critiqued John McCain's use of her image as a celebrity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paris Hilton pretended that she was maybe going to run for president, have Rihanna as her vice president, and she had this very skillful media agenda that we can get oil. I think it'd be interesting to go back and check it. Get oil, develop oil off the United States or within the United States borders. That would include Sarah Palin in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, we'll do that temporarily, but moving our crash program forward to develop new energy technology.
Okay, hang on, Bob. We got a caller. This is Fu calling in from the East Coast. Hello, you're on Cash Flow. Go ahead.
Hey, James. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. It's nice to talk to you. I think what you're going there for was Mr. Phelps from Mission Impossible.
very good. Now, what was that? Which actor was that?
Peter Graves.
That brings up another point. Have you been, either of you, tracking this new show, Fringe?
No.
No, I have not, though I did get your email, so I'm going to be tracking it now, that's for sure.
Yes, it's about MK Ultra, which
mm-hmm.
your mentor, James, was instrumental in creating as a meme, right?
That's right, that's right.
Now, what happened is that the TV show started this week, and the character, the main guy, is a mad scientist who was a part of the mysterious mind control program and a victim. And his name is Walter. But
that's right.
It is directed by Alex Graves. So the real person directing the show is Alex Graves. So the name Graves, that you said, Peter Graves, just came to me as you... Now, Graves is that we're all dead and disappeared. So Mission Impossible was a precursor to the Saint movie, right?
Yes, it was.
In the sense that they'd go on impossible missions and pull it off.
Right.
And be successful. So is it spelled the same way? P-H-E-L-P-S?
Do we know, caller? Do we know if that's spelled the same way?
I'm not
way?
Sure. I believe it is. I couldn't say for sure.
Do you have a particular question you'd like to address Bob with?
No, I had to throw that in there.
Okay.
No,
good.
That's important because this is
good.
Mission
Thank
Impossible
you.
For the Android meme. The Information Society icon must keep itself going the next couple of years, and Phelps is the only way to, one of the key ways to do it. So the Android meme is on a Mission Impossible.
Get a hold of Phelps and tell him, hey, why don't you announce the cold fusions, or even suggest it for that matter.
Yes, and I would say that he cannot. He cannot do that. He is so inside programmed by the TV body and the chip body that his advisors, being uninformed and not having heard this press conference, will not understand and will think that that's a bad move. And that is why the Android meme will fail. And that's why it'll go to China. That's why we will have to go to China.
Right, exactly.
America is too successful for its own good. That's the problem. What do you
Alrighty.
Say to that, Fu, if you're still there?
Yeah, what do you say to that?
I agree. I think a lot of people need to do stuff to change things, to think differently about things, but when you're eating well and, you know, you're way above subsistence level, there's no reason to. So you go along till you fall to your low, you know, till you hit rock bottom, like, a drug addict or a drunk or something.
Right. Now, Fu, are you an American?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to vote?
Yes.
Which party?
Democratic.
Do you believe that Obama will help this Android meme crisis?
I believe there's a potential, but, I'm apathetic towards what he can really do.
So why do you go through the motions of voting knowing with a certain level of cynicism?
Because I'm an optimist, and I know at lower levels there are things he can do, and I'm an optimist. I don't know what else to say about it.
You also believe in local action.
Correct.
Yes. You think that the Republicans have, through the chip body landscape, have ripped off local community survivability, and you think the Democrats will move us back to that somehow.
Yeah, it's finding the interval between the two powers. I mean, I wish we had the type of system where you could have a third party, or, you know, you could have some of your votes go towards a third party and they could be properly represented. You know, like, I forget what it's called in Europe, a proportional representation.
Yes.
But,
why it cannot happen in the United States? Because the United States is built on the book, which is literacy, the printed book, and literacy defines thing in doubleness and two-ness. Our basic schizophrenic value and structure means that a third party screws it up. And that's why America has been a bit of a spastic in the electric age, which extends the interval. Europeans are embedded into the industrial printed book effect as the United States are, so they can work with the interval, which tends toward chaos, like places like Italy. You got 30 parties. But we're never going to be able in America, since it's just a meme in a museum, it must always stay within the two-party situation. If someone could explain that to Ralph Nader or anybody else, the Green, then maybe they should infiltrate the Republican Party. Let's say the Republican Party wins the presidency. Everybody should join, become a Republican. That's how you restore it. Forget the division. Just join the party and start talking locally among them, and then they'll just love the attention. Then they might actually take in some of these ideas.
Right.
That's what I think. I think we should all join the Republican Party, even if it
all
loses.
Right. That's why Bob's my favorite radio personality, because he says
all
stuff
right.
Like
that. Great.
Thank you.
All right, Fu, I thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, well, that's interesting that how people are reacting to some of the things that you're saying. Now, you're saying go Republican, stay with Republican regardless of what your belief system is, because it really doesn't matter because of the now, what do you think? Because I thought I mentioned the other day to somebody, I said when he decided to bring Sarah Palin in, I immediately saw me, okay, and I looked at it, I'm like, okay, she's going to be president. And immediately I saw that as a probable probability, because McCain just doesn't look too good. Like,
yes,
he could make 8 years or even 4 years with her coming in, taking over. And it was obviously foreshadowed with the series that came out with Gina Davis talking about the first female president.
Yes. And never,
well,
no one ever thought, the Android meme always brings in the unexpected. No one ever thought the Republicans would pull off this, their candidate breaking the glass ceiling. No one anticipated, because they're white, patriarchal, racist, anti-Semitic, whatever. All those things are said about the Republicans, right?
Right.
But the reason, if McCain wins this presidency, it'll prove my point that the Republican image is the only one that fits the White House, because it represents the American past, which is all the White House can be. So you have to be a Republican. You have to be a Christian, a born-again Christian. You have to be all these things. So the technology through the decades changed the image, and it's time for a female in the White House. I mean, that's
right.
What the Gina Davis, is that her name?
Gina Davis, yeah.
Yeah,
she portrayed
that series
that, and
knew this.
Originally,
knew this
what, from what I understood,
ago.
It was financed by independent money, and Hillary Clinton was donating to the pre-production and making sure that it came out. It abruptly ended because of some in-house squabbling that I don't think the public knows about. But now we see now that that little, I don't know, I think went for a couple seasons, was enough to even put in the minds of people early the probability of this actually coming true.
Yes, and you can see the Android meme always sets us up for some reason, or how it does it is an interesting mystery. Everybody knew Hillary would be president for the last 2 years, okay? It was,
right.
It was predestined. And the Republicans had nothing going. So if McCain wins, and we know how bad the image of the Republicans were as a party over the last 3 years, you know, there's scandals in Congress, and no one ever thought they'd recover it. But the point is the workings of the bureaucrats in Congress are irrelevant to the TV iconic branding landscape, and it's that level that the Republican Party has to deal with, and they came up with a winner. They came up with a woman who fits all the rearview mirror aspects of Alaska, the frontier, Christian, and oil. And her son is going to the war. I mean, maybe he went there this week or something.
And when I saw Charles Gibson interviewing her, it just became apparent to me that this is our next president. Most likely, this is going to be our next president, this woman. And even Charles Gibson, and I've seen all the clips and so forth of that interview and all the criticism and so forth, it seems to be people are in a state of shock having to do with the possibility of that.
Yes. Now, there's no problem. I have no problem with her being president because she fulfills the role, the image of the White House. She represents the past with a new female spin to it. But the point is, it has nothing to do with what's going on globally, on the global level, which we all live. We live globally. We're involved with everything. So she's a perfect image. Let's accept it. But for those people like Fu represents, a working person dealing with community issues and families and jobs and that, they need to infiltrate the Republican Party and just be a member of it and bring up the cold fusion issue and keep harping on it. What happened? I mean, what is the local Republican committee going to do? Say, no, we don't want all these people. We don't want to be this popular. Well, they can't deny it. Become an American. Become a Republican. And when you're working with your chemical body.
Right,
it's not your chip body.
Definitely, you'd have to explain. I want to that strategy. I want to go into more next week because a lot of people are going to have a hard time wrapping their head around that. Even in the brief time we had for this press conference here,
they're too busy jogging and worrying about the TV images, whether it fits their image. They think the White House is an agency of change. No, it's an agency of preservation. You should thank the history created the White House so that we have a centralized image within the TV landscape. But if you're out jogging, you're doing a chemical body version of being an athlete. The quadriphenic version of an athlete is juggling the different dimensions and allowing yourself to be a Republican in your chemical body, to be a fan of Rihanna in your TV body, to be a totally eccentric nut in your chip body, and then in your...
Exactly.
And your astral body, talk to mediums, The chemical body Republican world wouldn't like you knowing you're talking to mediums, but you keep that to yourself. And they can't control that because you've got four bodies.
Very interesting. Well, I'm going to conclude this press conference for today, September 17, 2008. Thanks, Bob, for coming on. Everybody, again, this is James Martinez with Cashflow. We're going to have special guest tomorrow, Danny Schechter, director of In Debt We Trust, commenting on the activity in New York, as well as he's come out with a new book called Plunder. That should be here tomorrow. So thanks, Bob, for your time. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Fu, for calling in. And we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Have a great one, everybody. There is no bloody revolution. We are spirits in the material world. 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 Our so-called leaders speak. Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cashflow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of your credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good? Now? That's right. Call our 800 number and listen to the 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now.
888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
AchieveRadio.com, what talk radio should be all the time.